Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone, and today we're going into the world of rock and roll.
Yes.
Tell you what, I grew up in a time where this next guest band was a big part of my teen years. And I'll tell you what, as the years have gone on, I've really become really fond of him. He's the lead singer. That band was Poison. Coming up, he's got on the 23rd, Rock the Dock in yes. Pittsburgh, where he was born and raised. He's doing an event there, and on the 24th, he's going to be live at the NFL Draft performing with Wiz Khalifa. You can get all the information at brettmichaels.com. I think he's really pumped up to be on the show today, and he's got the great name. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Brett Michaels to the program.
Brett, I am pumped up to be on this show, man. First of all, congratulations to you for all your success. Thank you for having me on. And I'm excited to talk life, music, baseball. This is going to be great.
I love it. I love it. I saw you a couple weeks ago. You were with my brother down in spring training, throwing the rock around. I saw your BP. I put it out on my feed. Sorry,
you got a little.
Yeah, but you cut it off, though. You stopped. You gotta follow through. You're gonna get more carry on your ball. Who was working?
I'm telling you right there. I did stop. I gotta get that carry through. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it.
I'll tell you what. I'm glad we got somebody on the show. Their parents knew how to spell their name. Now we have a similar name, but we talked offline. We were talking on the phone the other day, and I was talking about the name Brett and how I was so excited. You got one T. We're surrounded by two T Bretts. Brett Saberhagen, buddy of mine, longtime pitcher for the Kansas City Royals. He's got the one T.
Absolutely.
And you know, I read something about you, your parents, something to do with Brett Maverick. And I want to know if this is true, because it's come up over the years. And my mom, I said, Mom, how'd you come up with my name? I really like my name, Brett. And I like how you spelled it with one T. And she goes, oh, Brett Maverick. It was our favorite. And that's who I was named after. I heard a story about your parents. You give me the breakdown where the name Brett came from.
That's exactly where it came from. They were huge fans of Brett Maverick, and that's how it came with one T. You and me, we're in this together. It was a, I'm not kidding you. We knew we couldn't get a license plate when you went into the, then it was the grocery store. I needed a license plate. I had to black out the extra T. Right.
But
there was no giving up in us. Us Bretts with one T stick together. And but it is true. Brett Maverick and then Michaels came from St. Michael. You know what I mean? That's where it came, how it all came together for me and how I was named. And I think both of us are lovable bad boys. And that's what Brett Maverick was.
Isn't it amazing? And I mean, you're still rocking it. I'm long retired. I'm doing podcasts. I go back on the field. I get in uni once in a while. Last year I did for the Texas Rangers. But I remember when I was playing, And once I established myself, I was in the league a few years. You know, the Brett really wasn't a problem. Everywhere I went, they had Brett spelled correctly. I'm finding the farther I get into retirement, and I mean, I'll be doing a show, and you know, I'll see it out on Twitter. Welcome Brett Boone to the podcast. It'll be with two T's. And sometimes I have to kind of tweet out who's that guy with two T's. you're still rocking and you're still out there recognizable with your look. Do you have any problems with the two T's? Do you ever go somewhere and go, how long do I have to do this before they get it right? I know Starbucks, they mess mine up all the time, but I at this point, I don't take it to heart with them. There's just an 18-year-old kid behind the counter just putting, Brett spell with two T's. But what about you currently? Do you ever get the two T and you just go, are you kidding me?
Oh, I get it all the time. I've learned, like you said, there's never any hard feelings, but I like to have fun with it. We'll even show up. I'm telling you, we just finished up a bunch of the stadium dates. And even on those, sometimes it would have something up front of that was the B&B, the Brett Michaels Band or whatever, with the two T's. And I just look and I go, that there is the story of my life right there. Embrace it and enjoy what happens. I help correct them. We're going to form a committee to help us, the Bretts with one T. We're going to form a committee to help solve this problem.
It's unbelievable. And you don't take it serious because you get a little older, you learn to laugh at yourself a little bit. And you think, I put it this way, I'm thinking, okay, because I'll go back to Seattle, for example, to do an event and Mariners or something. And something will be a headline somewhere and they'll have my name in. Usually when the Mariners are doing it, they make sure everything's right. But once in a while, though, somebody will get it wrong. And I just think, how could, with all the years I played here and, you know, you get in yourself like, all I did in this city, how can you get my name wrong? And then I think it's probably a kid 22 that's putting out this press release, has never even seen me play, was a toddler when I was finishing my career, and he has no idea. He's just trying to get this press release out. So I've learned to just laugh and not take myself that serious. But for a long time, man, if you didn't get it right, you know, when I was in my 30s, you better get, you know, if you didn't get my name right, I had a problem with it.
Like, you were throwing dukes. You were throwing
speaking of moms, growing up, and I don't know if Aaron told you this story, but in our house in the 80s, you know, Aaron's 4 years my junior, and he was a huge, I mean, I like Poison. Aaron was a huge Poison fan. So one year.
And we talked about that. Did you? As real as it gets. We talked about, I'll make this quick. We talked about it. Aaron and I got to throw the ball, the rock. We got to throw the rock around. We got to, like you and me, got to talk offline. It was one, I told you that when we were speaking. One of the best conversations I ever had about life, baseball, sports, diabetes, all of it, right? But music, and I hope I say this correctly, music and sports saved my life. And growing up, again, coming from a small town outside of Pittsburgh, it was such an important part of my everyday life and influenced me. And I always said, and my parents were the same, and I'll get to mom in a minute, that baseball was just good for the soul. It was good for the soul. It made my summers rock. We started, of course, in Pittsburgh, when we started in Little League or Pee Wee or even T-ball, there was still some snow on the ground. You know, you'd be whack the ball and all of a sudden near second base, there'd be a little pile of snow still left. So, yeah, but Aaron and I talked a lot about music and got to meet everybody. By the way, I thank you and your brother treat me so great down there at their facility down in the Tampa area. It was amazing.
I got him a birthday gift, and it was the Poison album, Open Up and Say Ah.
Right.
Remember, you know the cover with the
controversial cover.
The cover. And back then it was, that was big time. You know, everything was the devil. Ozzy Osbourne was, you know, everybody's worshiping Satan back in the 80s. You know, that was especially with the moms.
Right. Or so they thought.
So they thought. Correct. Correct. So they thought. But, you know, when you're a kid and you're a teenager, you're like, mom, I don't really give a crap what's on the cover. I love the music, this and that. Yes. So anyway, you had that controversial cover. But Aaron's favorite is poison. And I'm thinking, you know, it's the good older brother. I don't know if it was his birthday, Christmas, I forget.
Right.
But I got him your, at the time, it was a CD. And you know, you had the inlays with the picture. Oh, yeah. My mom wouldn't let me give it to him unless I took the inlay out. So I took the inlay out, wrote on a card, poison, put it in there. And then she said, all right, he can have it then. That was my mom. Yeah, yeah.
An index card.
Yeah.
I said, Sharpie.
Right. And of course, you know, when the dust settled, mom got out of the way and he was excited about his gift. I gave him the inlay. I said, here, you put it back in like it's supposed to do. But he loved that. And he reminded me of that the other day. He goes, hey, remember that time you got me the poison? He goes, you got to ask Brett about that. I said, I'll tell Brett about that. And I did. All right.
I want to add to this story too. So that cover, we were so excited when we would do CD covers, album covers, when it started, cassettes. I was so excited to be able to write in there, not just the lyrics, what studio we were at, what we were doing when we made the record. Like, I take it, as much as I love to have fun and get it done, I take it seriously. Like, I want people to feel the passion we put into it. And we would put in pictures of being able to, you know, I was able to rub a couple pennies together, finally get my first, I got Harley's, my first, not a car. The first one I could really, really pay for was a Harley Wide Glide, right? I didn't think it through, you know, when it was raining or you had to get to the studio or go get some groceries. I didn't think it through, so I got some saddlebags, right? But our first record, people, this is as true as it gets, and it blows people's mind. On our first album, we were living behind a dry cleaner on sleeping bags on the floor in downtown Los Angeles because we could rehearse in there at night. And the front half of the dry cleaner was the only part they needed. So it was literally warehouse floor sleeping bags. This is the part I talk about that goes with sports and influence, is that we never had a moment where we were giving up. Like, there was never a moment where I go, oh, this is too much, I'm giving up. I found a way, even being diabetic, to make it rock. But our first album we did was an independent record we did with our label and another small label. And we literally, on the day we were going in, I thought, man, I read all these magazines, Circus Magazine, Hit Parade, or Rolling Stone, about all these people, and there was limousines and the, you know, private jets, all this stuff, right? I didn't know anything about it growing up. And I'm like, that isn't what we were doing. We were sitting on a warehouse floor in El Segundo, literally putting shrink wrapping our own albums, our own CD. Probably if you got the first record, one of our band members probably shrink wrap that. So if you have the shrink wrap left over and didn't throw it out, you might want to get it. It's a collector's item now.
No, and I think you're right. When you talk about life and how, you know, sports and you know, whether in the entertainment industry. So as an athlete, as a rock star, as an actor, an entertainer, we all have different ways, but it's, the stories are pretty similar. Like, you say base or sports played a huge role in your life in shaping the man that you became, the success you've had at your profession. It's like we all, I think, in our different ways. For baseball, man, I wanted to escape. Soon as I got off the baseball field, it's like, man, I don't want to see anything baseball. I don't. I go home. Music was a way to kind of take me away from what I do. Probably the reverse for you. You're playing all day, every day, and you're just kind of, I need a break. Maybe you turn on ESPN, and you were the reverse of me, where that was your escape. My escape was listening to your records. Your escape is watching the highlights from ESPN tonight, see who won, who hit a homer, who scored a touchdown.
You are 1,000% correct. And I think for us, you know, in talking about this a little bit, you know, one of the things for me, music is something, as you can see, just even here in the office, just it's around me every day. And I live it. I love it. It's one of the things when I need to just let go, I pick up my acoustic guitar, walk around the house and just play. Right. But sports was my go-to. It, like you were saying, yours was music. For me, we're on the road. I make the whole band and crew. I think I sent you a bunch of those pictures. Yeah. We're at every truck stop in America throwing baseball.
You make them
play
a catch. Yeah,
we play a lot of catch. And And I'll get a whole team together back where I grew up, outside of not just Butler, but Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and that area. We go back there. We have a whole wiffle ball team with our Mechanicsburg baseball team, high school and junior high and all the little league. All of us get together, put together a wiffle ball. So, you know, we don't take a dinger inside of the, I said, damn, but, you know, a nice foul ball to the side of the face.
Right.
No, it's awesome. Less painful.
Yeah. And it's awesome too. You're talking about, you know, when you guys were first starting out and how rough it was, but you know, it's another similar story. It's like going through the minor leagues. We have a little different of it's a little more structured. You know, you go to, if you're a player, you get a college scholarship or you go in the draft. And if not, you go to college and then you get drafted and you go to A ball and you work your way up. And the better you do, the higher you go. If you don't do good, you get fired like any other job in life. But I remember getting drafted out of USC, going to A ball. You know, I played there for a half a year and you didn't care. I didn't care. Money didn't motivate me. Now, looking back, it's like, wow, I was so fortunate to make the living I made and get to do what I do. This is a lot of kids' dreams. I got to live it out. But right. You don't think like that when you're going through it. You don't think about other people and how lucky you are. You're just thinking, I'm grinding. I have a goal. I want to get here. Whoever your rock heroes were, like, I want to get to that point. And this is where we start. I remember getting to A ball and going, and this is before they paid us anything in the minor leagues. I made $700 a month.
Right.
And they didn't take care of my housing. So you were on your own. You know, I got a little bit of a signing bonus, so I had a little bit of money in the bank. But I remember going the first day, like, all right, where do I live? And they said, well, we got a 3-bedroom, but there's 6 of us. There's a couch. I said, I'll take the couch. I said, how much for the couch? They said, $200 a month.
Right.
No problem. You know, after the game, and back then it was just eat, breathe, sleep. It's just baseball. It's ESPN. It's playing those little, you know, the video games, the baseball video games. And that's all I did. And I wanted to watch ESPN because I wanted to watch the guys I looked up to, what they did tonight, who hit a homer tonight. I'm going to be there soon. And I didn't care about anything. We didn't have a car. We found a way. And it's like, you just grind it out. And that's the way it is. I try to tell my kids these days growing up, I said, it's part of the deal, man. You grind. You're paying right now what you're paying and you're squeaking by. This is paying for your future. And then you get there. And still to this day, I have a ton of memories when it wasn't big leagues and at an all-star game and on the, you know, in a World Series setting. I remember being an A-ball in Peninsula, Virginia. You know, grinding out. And I got an 11-hour bus trip. And it's not like the brand new cool tour bus. We're talking school bus that they might have put a couple cushions in, but you got 11 hours with a bunch of 21-year-old drunk ball players going from Memphis to Jacksonville.
Now that sounds like a good time. And let me add to this, every bit of it I relate to, sports, music. You even had, if you had a couch for $200, you were living high on the hog compared to, we had a sleeping bag, a cement floor. The shower wasn't hot or cold. It was just water. It just said water. And whatever you turned on behind the dry cleaner, that's what you got. But the thing you said that I hope resonates from us just talking about life to everyone, to everybody listening, is you find a way. You said those key words. You bet on yourself. You find a way when things were getting even tougher. We just had to be stronger than the storm. That's the way I always looked at it. And always grateful. Like, again, I say this from day one till now, I am grateful for every minute I get to play music. I get to be on the road. I get to do this with you. This is bucket list in my life. This is a good day in my life. When we talked offline as well, I mean, that was one of the best conversations, a heartfelt conversation. And like you said, yours was baseball and your go-to was music. Mine was music. And my go-to was baseball and sports. And I'm a big motocross guy too. So the first time I could, again, rub pennies together, I'm a ranch guy. Like, I'm an outdoorsman. So I got that dirt bike out and built a full on motocross track. You know, I know I'm going, I know I'm taking a left or a right, but those things wake me up. They motivate me. And again, we talked about this a lot, being a type 1 diabetic, 6 years old, and you're thinking of all the shots you got to take, insulin, the blood tests. I'm like a human pincushion. That's what I am. And I had a choice, and my parents gave me this choice. There's a fork in the road. You're either going to be victim or victory. And I chose victory. They said, you can complain about this for the rest of your life and say, this is what I was handed, or you can take this and do the best with whatever you're given. And some days are just going to be tough, and some days are going to be great. But that moment of pain can be worth a lifetime of glory.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. Right. We were talking the other day, and I know you were diagnosed with diabetes at the age of 6, you know, and you've dealt with this your whole life. I was telling you about the story, and the only relatable story I know is my grandpa. He was a diabetic and a huge part of my life. Passed away in 2004, but he was, you know, I'm very close with my entire family, you know. Dad, we have an unbelievable relationship. Gramps was like a second dad to me. We were one of those close, you know, because Gramps played, and he was probably my earliest influence as a baseball player. I spent a lot of time with him as a kid, and I had heard the stories. You know, he was kind of a partier, and those guys that played in the 40s and the 50s and took trains across the country,
yes,
at the big leagues at that time, they were not shy with their partying ways. No. And I had heard nothing but, I didn't know that grandpa. I didn't know that Ray Boone. I knew Ray Boone Gramps that takes me to the field to hit. I mow the lawn with him. He takes me to the Del Mar racetrack.
Right.
I knew that grandpa, sober grandpa, diabetic grandpa that had to take the shots on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember, you know, we lost him in 2004.
And sorry to hear that. May you rest.
Yeah.
In peace.
Oh, that was it. I remember I got a phone call. I was in Seattle and we had a day game. And I got a phone call that Gramps had been rushed to the hospital. And, you know, he'd been in and out of the hospital a little bit.
Right.
And I thought, you know, something felt different about this time. And I remember right after the game, I got on a plane and I went down and I saw him, and he lived for a couple more days after that. He passed away. But I remember talking to the doctor, and I shared this with you the other day. The doctor told me, he said, Brett, you know, your grandpa lived a great life, and diabetes in the end ended up killing him, but it also saved his life 40 years ago. Because if he wouldn't have got diabetes in the way he was living, you wouldn't have had 40 great years with him of your life. Well, I think he passed away when I was about 34 years old. So I had 34 years with grandpa, living the life of a diabetic and having to deal with all that. I'm sure your journey's been well documented. It's a part of who you are. I know things have happened to you through the years. 1987, you had a big incident on stage. I think 2010, it came back. Explain to me your journey, how it changed your life when you first figured it out at age 6. And I'm interested now in what my grandpa kind of went through in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Versus the technology and how the advancements have come this far and what you deal with now on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, for your grandfather, you know, and him being just an awesome human being, your whole family. I'm close with my family. Oddly enough, my grandfather, Armco Steele, not a diabetic, but I did not know the crazy drinking grandpa. And he was given an ultimatum, clean it up, get healthy. And the one I knew, your story and my story as to Brett's with one T are really similar, right?
Right.
Influential in my life. Both my grandpas were influential in my life. One an outdoorsman, one loves sports, right? And I got all that put on me as a kid. So I'm 6 years old. I'll make this really to the point. I was getting really sick, and my parents, not knowing, were trying to help in any way they could. They thought it was flu. Then they thought maybe it's something else. And here's the deal. Here I am, not knowing I'm diabetic, and you're literally urinating every Tuesday. You don't know what's going on. I'm drinking Cokes because we thought that hydrated you, back then we thought a Coke was hydrating us, right? And I'd be drinking Coke and my blood sugar's going higher and higher. And then I went into what's called DK, or, you know, ketoacidosis. Long story short, got me to the hospital. They looked at my parents and they said, your son is diabetic. And I remember sitting in that hospital bed listening to that. And that was a life-changing moment. And then that night, my mom and dad and my sisters, Michelle and Nicole, they said, you know, here's what it is. Here's the cards you've been dealt. And I just said, you know what? I've got this really, grace of God, positive attitude. And I said, and you're young, you know, you're six. And I said, man, I'm going to take this. We're going to figure this out and we're going to rock forward. And that's the way we approached it through the toughest times. And I'm not going to lie. It's, you know, it's tough, but you go out there and you just have to be 1% tougher than the storm. You got to be that 1% stronger than the storm and keep a good mental attitude. And then as you go along in life, it sounds strange. As much as it was considered a curse, it was also a blessing, because so many people that are in my business, I've lost so many great friends. By, don't get me wrong, we like having nothing but a good time, no pun intended. But what happens, that good time becomes, you're out on the road for a year and a half, you take a small break and do the next record, you're out, and all of a sudden, what becomes the little once more and more. You drink a little, you do this, you do that. And the next thing you know, I don't want to ever on stage ever let the fans down. I'm passionate. So then I push myself even harder. And if I'm feeling worse, I'm not quite balancing it. And then what you do is one day after, you know, went through a couple really tough moments, I just said to myself, I'm going to, you know, I have two beautiful daughters now, Rain Elizabeth and Georgia Blue. And I just said, this is it. And I love what I'm getting to do. And I started to take much better control of it. And my mom and them, when I was a kid, set up a diabetic camp. And it showed me, I was the only kid in my school that had it at the time. But it showed my friends what to do if I get sick. There was a couple trips I couldn't go on. There's a lot of times that people taking you on a school venture, or if you were playing football, I love playing football, baseball, all of it. They were a little nervous to take you because they didn't, not everyone knew what to do if you got really sick or had a low sugar, right? And so we just learned, what I learned with my family and going through life is, rather than hide anything, educate people on it. And that was it. And it was, and like I said, I know this comes around full circle, but baseball, not just watching it now, not just playing it, but growing up, it was just good for my soul. It was a good, you know, I'd go out there and it gave you what you need in life, which is bet on yourself, gives you hope, you have fun doing it. And it was just played a big part in my life.
Yeah, it's and the Life Rocks Foundation is your foundation. You do a lot of work for a lot of different causes and help a lot of people. Thanks. You know, just watching your career, and I told you this the other day, I was very fond of you beyond the music, just how you've handled yourself as a professional and the way your career has gone. At every turn, I see that Bret Michaels and I go, that guy's got it together. There's something different about you than the typical rock star that has all this success. And I looked up to you a lot, and I had a lot of respect for you before we even met, before we decided to do this. But I just, you know, I found this a few years ago, and people asked me, and in my industry, you know, there's some egos. There's egos in rock and roll. There's egos in anything where there's fame.
Absolutely.
And usually the best athletes in the world usually have a pretty good ego. And one day I was kind of looking around, and I was looking at a teammate of mine. And I saw his name was Johnny Olerud, won a couple batting titles, a couple World Series with the Toronto Blue Jays. One of the nicest, yes, humble, down-to-earth, great players I ever played with. He was my first base for 4 or 5 years. And I thought, how the hell is this guy even real? I mean, you talk about void of ego. He had none. And I started thinking about it. And I thought, you know, the guys that really don't have that ego, with all the success and the money and the fortune and the fame, usually have had some adversity in their life. And you turn it back, and Johnny Olerud had an aneurysm as a junior in college, collapsed, almost died on the field, had to wear a helmet on defense his entire big league career. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. That's the reason right there. He's had adversity, you know, and I look to you with the adversity as a kid, and you talk about those stories as a kid. I mean, as a 6-year-old, as a 10-year-old, we just want to be cool. We want to be cool with the girls. We want to hang out with our boys, you know, and all of a sudden you've got these, oh, we can't take Brett on the trip. I mean, that's, as an adult, you can handle it. But as a kid, that had to be something that really, really shaped you and really kind of gave you some unbelievable humility, which obviously from what I've seen, you've carried throughout your career.
You, first of all, thank you. And the same to you. And I say this absolutely. And, you know, I wrote a song with my youngest daughter, Georgia Blue, called Unbroken. If all of your great followers have a chance, just check this out. It's the official video of Unbroken. And it's exactly what we're talking about. She was going through a tough moment in her life. I was going through a tough moment. We sat down, we wrote this song, Unbroken, right? But I want to say this. You were talking about void of ego. This is one of the best things I can tell people. And I've said this over and over. Confidence is knowing something. You know it, but you have it internally, knowing inside you. You've faced adversity. Arrogance comes when you're hiding something. I've always found that if you're hiding something, you may not be what they think you are. And I think that you find with people that are confident, people that are going out. For me, I love to treat people no matter where, when it is. Always a handshake. How you doing? Get to find out a bit about their life. I'm a good listener, right? But that also comes with being out there and just treating people great. It makes me feel good. And that's what we based our Life Rocks Foundation on. It is a penny in, penny out, complete nonprofit. We even cover administration. We cover everything. But we send all kids to diabetic camp. We take care of Make-A-Wish. We work with my father's a veteran. So we work with all of our veterans, helping them. A lot of pets. We have, you may hear them in the background. We got shepherds everywhere. Bark. They're all rescues. Barking. For me, I say this, I love what I get to do. I get to surround myself with great people. I always say, completely believe this, it takes an absolute village, and we didn't get here alone. As much as even when I'm solo, we're playing a stadium solo, I get to do the draft as the Brett Michaels band. And Poison, I love Ricky, Bobby, CeCe, they're my best friends still growing up and now. And with the Brett Michaels band, they're my best friends. So I found you get a lot more bees with honey and vinegar. And absolutely. It's something to be but the truth is, if something comes up, I'm also not scared to step in there and say, hey, you also have to have the confidence to say, here's the line. And you get boundaries. People around you that I'll make this quick, that you get people around you start to push a little hard after a while. I say, that's enough. This is where we're at. This is where it's going. And I hope it works in your life. If it doesn't, we just part ways. You know what I mean?
I do. I mean, it's boundaries because, you know, you find that in life. Especially when you're with guys and you love guys. And sometimes people take advantage of that. And all of a sudden you're kind of going, oh, okay, wait a minute. You know, it's I liken it to having a caddy at the trip, and you have them every year. And I've been going to this tournament for 10 years, and all of a sudden, man, this cat, he used to bust his ass and he'd work hard, and all of a sudden he's sitting in the cart telling me to go rake the bunker. And I'm going, why am I paying you? He's trying to take advantage of me, you know, because I didn't have any boundaries. I didn't want to treat him like you were hired. Yeah, I wanted to treat you like you were one of the guys, but all of a sudden I am paying you to caddy. I want you to be a part of the family, but listen, you got to work too. You know, we all have to do our role here.
Yeah, we got to pull our weight. I always say that there, but just throw it in and whatever it takes. Again, going back to your statement, whatever it takes to get it done, pull your weight. But yeah, that's a slippery slope. I've been there because I like to treat people absolutely great. And 99% of the time, it's great. Once in a while, we'll use the word, you can, if you're not careful, all of a sudden it's a little complacency. Do you know what I mean? All of a sudden It gets a little sideways, and I'm like, everyone, let's get back. Let's rock. Let's have fun. Get it done. But we got to pull our weight, man.
Right. And I can see with you and your personality, hey, Brett's a cool guy, man. And as time goes on, well, yeah, I'm cool and I'm tolerant, but don't take me for granted. That's probably where you've come to a point in your life where, because right. You're the fun guy, you like to make them feel a part of, you know, like they're in the band and their job might be elsewhere. Hey, I'd love to make you a part of this. I love the experience. I want you to enjoy this experience with me, but don't take me for granted.
Correct. Don't take my kindness for weakness.
Right.
But that's what it is. And I said, but I do have an invitation for you. So we're going to get you and Aaron.
I'm going to write this down.
This is the truth. You're all coming on stage now.
Aaron, oh, baby. Now I got a story. I got a story for you about that. All right, go ahead.
Here we go. So Aaron, you coming on stage, we're going to pick the song. We're going to work it out at sound check because I leave no one hanging. I leave no person behind. We will have this nailed down. We'll pick one of the big arenas, all the pyro going, and maybe do nothing but a good time or something. Yes. We get up there and we just rock it together. And if anyone goes to my socials, I love bringing people on stage, treating people great. I got Wiz Khalifa and myself, the draft. We are going to rock. We're going to mash it up. It's what my Party Grawl tour is all about. That awesome. Live and amplified Party Grawl, Mardi Grawl is all these different great musicians come up and join me. Sometimes I let them just sing and I'm playing the guitar to their song. They throw the guitar back and we're doing our song.
That is awesome. I'm holding you to it. And I want a good big venue. I want a sound check. And you're going to just see how lack of skill I have in the artist arena.
No, truly
exists.
Yeah, and we like I do with Aaron, we have to throw a little
absolutely
baseball. Have to do it's good for my soul.
Right. And I'll prepare for that. I'll get the tendonitis worked out of my elbow. I'll be ready to turn a double play. I'll teach you how to turn a double play. I'll teach you to bat flip correctly, not like the modern guys that
premeditated. I need a correct
bat flip. Yeah, I'd love to do that. That would be awesome. You know, I've had, and I won't bore you with my rock and roll stories, but you know, we're all big fans of baseball players. We love going to your guys' concerts. So anyway,
thank you.
Def Leppard's a huge. I love Def Leppard growing
up. Love right? Leppard. Toured with them all the time.
Oh, Joe Perry's great. Doesn't know anything about baseball, but it doesn't matter. He's coming to Seattle. This is early 2000 Seattle. We're rocking. Mariners are a great team. I see Def Leppard's coming. I go, oh, well, you know, I call who I got to call. Next thing you know, they said, come backstage. They're going to put you on the stage for the concert. And this
nicest
is like
guys in the world, by the way. I've told them.
Unbelievable.
Amazing. Go ahead.
Unbelievable. So I meet Joe and I don't care. They're in my city in Seattle. He's looking to me. He's as kind as you could be. Manners. Hi, Brett. It's a pleasure. You know, we're talking. I know right away. He's got no clue who I am, what I do, but he is a nice guy.
Right.
I'm sitting on stage and he doesn't realize, you know, I don't care that he doesn't know who I am. I just, what he meant to me growing up, listening to High and Dry and what was it? Pyromania. I mean, I love these guys. So he comes on stage. They got a jersey. I brought him a Mariners jersey. He comes on stage for one of the encores. He's got my jersey on. Now, to put the spotlight on me, I'm in the Seattle. The crowd goes crazy. They start yelling Boone.
Right.
They're Boone like they do when I
know where this is going. Go ahead. I can tell.
Joe Perry and the guitarist, you know, the guitarist has been hanging with me all night. He's talking to me. You know, he kind of knows about baseball a little bit. So he's 5 feet from me. I'm sitting on one of the speakers. And he's been, you know, we've been back and forth in between, you know, when the lights go down and he has a moment, he'll come over and we're rapping about stuff. So he has an idea. So Joe turns to the guitarist and goes, "Why the hell are they booing me?"
Right.
He goes, "No, they're saying Boone. They're saying Boone." He didn't get it. He didn't get it. I got my guy
freaking out.
Oh, I got my guy right on the front row, the photographer who's also our photographer for the Mariners. And I'm going, "Get this, get this." I still have the pictures. I'm like, "This is one of the coolest moments." Def Leppard, Joe doesn't know who I am, and that makes it even better. He's wearing my jersey. He doesn't know why they're booing him, but they're not booing him. It was one of my coolest moments outside of baseball. That was awesome.
So I'm going to make it better. What we're going to do to bring you on, like, I'm going to do this. Boom, 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 boom. We're going to get – we have a whole kick drum thing. The crowd, you got – you're going to have 15, 20,000 hands in the air pumping. We will make this – it will be an unbelievable great. We're going to make up for that moment. We're going to make up for Joe Elliott. We're going to make up.
I love it. I'm all in. Want to talk to you a little bit about, first of all, how do you make the decision with you? And it was Ricky, CC, Bobby. You guys right. just decide, hey, we're going for it. What do you do? Like I said, for me, it was a little more organized. I went to college. I played baseball. I got drafted. I went to the minor leagues. I played for an organization. If I do good, I move up. Rocket, there's no script for what you do. It's just go.
There is no script. Here it is. It is willpower. It is no fear. When I say no fear, that doesn't mean you're not thinking through what you're doing. Same thing. You're playing small, small clubs. Then you're doing this. You're doing that. But one thing that our band did is – we all had no fear. We looked at each other. We sold anything we owned. If I had a motorcycle, I sold my car, whatever it took to get from a small town in Pennsylvania, which I love. I play every year at their brand new amphitheater. Always a party sold out in central PA and in Pittsburgh at Star Lake. We just literally packed up, went out there. We knew where we were going to live, counting out. This is what Bruins bands is figuring out if there's enough grocery money to survive. I needed insulin. We would have to sometimes go to what was then urgent care and get a little bit of insulin. And that took forever to convince them I wasn't a drug addict. You know, I'm like, I'm not a drug addict. I need insulin. I'm diabetic. But whatever it took, you get together with those guys and we said, no fear, let's go for this. And that's honest to God, that's exactly how we did it. We drove across the country, took our a Chevette with no windows, an old ambulance van, and our pickup truck, loaded everything we owned, and we were live without a net. We didn't. It wasn't like we were going, well, here's our option if it doesn't work. We went all in, and for me again, it goes back to my whole philosophy is to bet on yourself. And that's in anything in life, you know, and know your threshold of pain. Some people are, you know, you can't let your ego get in the way. You got to have a threshold of pain. You know, this is what I can do. For me, I dropped any threshold of pain and said, I'm going to take a beating from this. The critics find a way to get it done. And it just, that's how we got it done. And I say this to you, we're going to have many more of these conversations. This is like therapy to me. This is bucket list and you're talking like this is great. And I hope that we can do this again in the near future.
And also, I think you got to be a little naive. I know I was naive as a kid. I'm going to the big leagues. I'm going to play there 15 years. And your guidance counselor looks at you and says, really? That's what's your backup plan? I said, what do you mean? Don't you know who you're talking to? I don't have a backup plan. Now, as a parent, you love when your kids have a backup plan, but we had no backup plan. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say that for me, that backup plan was simply, this is what I'm doing 1,000%. I'm going in. I'm going big. You know, like I said, even for me in Pittsburgh to go back to my city, and even though we're talking NFL, to be able to go back and play the draft and then say, can we do this with a friend of mine? Can we, can Wiz Khalifa and me do this together? Give that city the best show they've seen, light it up. And then after that, I just need to say this, because we're going to have this conversation a few times, is I got to throw a ball with you. You're going to teach me, you're going to teach me how to turn play. We're going to make this great.
Absolutely. When for you was a time where you knew, because we all, I remember my moment, but through all that grinding it out, sleeping behind the, you said the, what was it? The dry cleaner?
Yeah, the dry cleaner in downtown.
When was that? When was the moment where you first, you were on stage and you might've said to yourself, I think we made it. I remember my time. Did you have a time like that? An aha, like, holy.
My first aha moment was the best moment and best dichotomy, irony in my life. You ready? Texas Stadium, everyone can view this. If you look up the I Won't Forget You video, Poison. So here's Paul Stanley on stage with me. Steven Tyler's on stage. We're rocking. We're up there. We're playing in front of 83,000 sold out Cotton Bowl, right? I'm not going to lie. I partied my brains out. I'm like, this is, you know, a year ago, I couldn't even barely, I literally, can, we were in nightclubs, right? Not making this up. And when I say not packed either, we were playing independent. Then that moment happened, and I'll never forget leaving there. We were in Dallas, headed to Albuquerque, and we pulled over at a truck stop and liked the Bob Seger song. You walk in from the cold in a restaurant, everyone's just staring at you, right? We literally walked in. There wasn't a person at 3 or 4 a.m. that couldn't care less that we had walked into that restaurant, didn't know who we were. We're in tour buses. No one cared. And it was the best moment of my life to realize, love what you do. Love the music. Play for the music. Never chase the fame. Never. Go in there and play because you love music. And as they say, love of the game and love of the music. And that was the best one, probably the best moment in my life. That great moment at the Cotton Bowl. You can watch the video, 83,000 going crazy. And then a few hours later at a truck stop, and I couldn't, if I fell over in the middle of the floor, I'm not sure someone would have walked over and cared. It was perfect.
When I go to a concert, I'm there to be entertained. It's a band I love. I know the songs. I'm singing along with the songs. I'm not going to know whether you have, because you do it every night, or right. When you're on tour, you're doing it a lot. So you know there's times you go off stage, you go, man, I wasn't good tonight. I missed this. Or, and your bandmates, your guitarist, he might not have a good night tonight. Now, I, the fan, I'm not really going to know about it. Now, if you go to my game and watch me go 0 for 4, strike out twice, make an error to lose the game, I'm going to get interviewed. Everybody knows I stunk. So explain to me what it's like on stage with your bandmates. Do you all know when you're just off a little bit? Like, do you know, today, Bobby ate, he's off, or CeCe's off? Or do they know, if Brett's not on his game, two nights ago is the best I've ever heard him. Tonight is a little off. Do you guys know, or is it something that is so minute that it's just something that you evaluate inside yourself?
Well, great question. So, and when I say this, it's as true as it gets. We're a real live band. So it's different in this aspect. As we go out there, it's 1,000%. We're a live band. You have nights where your throat's a little more beat up. Sure. Or, you know, you feel like it only takes us about a song. We get in that groove, but we lift each other up. And the Brett Michaels band, both bands, Poison and Brett Michaels band, talented musicians. But before we go on stage, we're singing, we're playing, we're warming up. And honest to God, we just lift each other up. And I say this, willpower. I'm watching it this year. And as I say this, with, you know, watching Connor Griffin come in to the Pirates, and the Pirates having kicking off their season with a winning record. I grew up in the Pittsburgh area, and it's a nice feeling, but you can feel this unbelievable good chemistry and energy. And that's what I call band. You have this chemistry, this orchestra of sound that comes together and you just make it rock.